The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Well, the 2025 Irish Farmer Calendar is out now and it is 100% Irish beef. And before you come at me for saying that, that's what the tagline says, 100% Irish beef. And if you don't know what the Irish Farmer Calendar is, well, think topless farmers with country implements. I'm talking spinning wheels. There's a sprung in there, a chainsaw. Shauna is the creative director of the Irish Farmers Calendar this year. That is Shauna Byrne, and she's joining me on the phone. And we have a bit of a surprise with a Tipperary farmer who features in the calendar a little bit later on. But let's talk to Shauna first. You're very welcome, Shauna.
Thank you so much. How are you?
Very good, thank you. How did you get involved in this very difficult job, I would say?
very difficult, let me tell you. So basically, myself and the previous owner, we had a mutual business contact, and he reached out to me, let me know that she wanted to move on to other things, and yeah, one thing led to another and here we are.
I wanted to move on from topless farmers, eh?
She's been doing it for the last 15 years. I think she had enough of them.
Okay. And I remember working in radio in 2009 when the first calendar came out, and there was really quite the buzz about it.
There's quite a following with it. Like, it's one of those much anticipated things every year, and the demand for it is, I've never seen anything like it, to be honest. It's insane.
How fab. Now, like, the world has really changed since 2009, hasn't it? There's been lots of conversations about it, objectifying women, for example. Do you do this a little bit tongue-in-cheek, or do you think about that when it comes to men?
Oh, no, 100% tongue-in-cheek. You know, it's my whole concept behind it was I wanted to keep up the lighthearted tradition while bringing awareness to the Irish farming industry, and along with our charity Embrace Farm, who do incredible work supporting families that have been affected by incidents on farms. I just really wanted to bring awareness to that through the humour and the fun and the lighthearted side of it. So it's addressing something quite serious, but with the lighthearted and fun of it as well.
And it really is so much fun, like the photos with the spinning wheel, for example. Like, what were you thinking on the day of the photo shoot, and when you were creating your vision for this, what was your vision as a whole before you went into it?
Again, like that, just keeping the lightheartedness, and it's one of those things that we had so many different ideas going into the farm. So we actually had the beautiful location of Windrush Farm in Newtown Main Kennedy in Wicklow. And once I went to view there, I was like, this is the place. It is absolutely beautiful up there. But had all these ideas of different things. But on the day, our photographer, Tom Scott, he even started throwing things in the mix. And then all the lads, all the farmers were getting in on it. And, you know, what started with like a few different ideas spiraled into so many different ideas, and everyone was kind of chipping in with their ideas, and that's kind of where the fun comes from the calendar. And I think you can see that in the calendar.
See
that all of the lads are having fun together. There's that really, that lightheartedness is very, very obvious through the calendar.
And was it hard to get 12 farmers to get involved in this?
We actually didn't get 12 farmers this year. We have five incredible farmers.
Oh,
this year.
Okay.
So all the lads were very, I'm going to say they were eager in the end to do it. They were eager in the end.
So does that mean it was hard to get 12 men to convince them to do this?
The only reason it was hard was because it was later in the year to be doing it.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, the end of August when we started shooting the calendar. So, you know, we were under a bit of time pressure to get it done. Okay. And you know yourself, trying to arrange things.
I know. And at least it was warmer at the end of August. And I wonder, we have Maurice Fitzgibbons from County Tipperary. He's one of the five farmers. Maurice, what did it take for you to be convinced to do this?
Well, it took a couple of messages off Shauna, really. But I was previously on the calendar back in, I think it was 2019. And that time I was definitely, I would have been suffering with the nerves more so, but the fact I knew it was for Embrace Farm support this year, I was very much more eager, you know.
Okay, so tell us about some of your poses. What did you have to do for the calendar?
Well, I had to train two dogs to pose first before they could train me to pose.
Are they your own dogs or in the photo?
No, they're not. No, there were two lovely dogs there on Windrush Farm. But of course, look, to get, you know, if you're bringing a stranger into your place and you want them to start doing anything with your dogs, you have to do a bit of an introduction, maybe a bribe with a few biscuits first. But we got some good photos with the dogs anyway, and it was lovely scenery, lovely place to be on, you know.
And how many of the calendar months are you in this year?
I think two, am I right, Shauna?
You are in three.
Three of them. Yeah. Oh god, three. Oh geez, I'm getting a great.
So do you know what months you are, Morris?
No, off the top of my head. Okay. Maybe Christmas. That would be a surprise one.
You're
I'm not
definitely
sure.
Christmas. Oh. You're definitely Christmas. And I'm gonna say you're January.
No.
So give it one hand and take with another, Morris. So I'm sure they're very different photos, Christmas and January, the misery of January. And is he doing anything Christmassy in the December month, Shauna?
The December month is actually probably one of my favourite pictures. It's all of the guys together and we've got some nice Christmas decorations in there as well.
Lovely, lovely. And Morris, you know, being in the Irish Farmer's Calendar means taking your top off. How did you feel about that?
Well, sure. You know, at the end of the day, most working men, they don't have the body of a Greek god. So I wasn't too concerned about having a six pack or not. But
so you didn't do any training for the run up to the photo shoot?
No, I there's not much training you can do in the space of a week and a half or 2 weeks. You just have to go as you are. Some of the lads are in great nick. The rest of us are just in our everyday working wear, if you want to call it that. And yeah, sure. Look, it's all just a bit of fun. And at the end of the day, you know, I think it's a good representation of Irish farmers, Irish men in general. And it's definitely, as I said, it's helping support a great cause as well.
Exactly. And that great cause is Embrace Farm. And tell me, what type of farmer are you in County Tipperary?
So I'd be a beef and suckler farmer, very small time. And then I work full time for the Nina Tyre Centre. So I actually do all the breakdowns on tractors and lorries and stuff.
So. Ah, okay. So you're a busy man. And let me ask the question that that all people who might be looking at the calendar are going to ask. Are you a single man, Morris?
Not at the moment.
Oh!
Not at the moment. Someone's caught my eye big time. No.
Not at the moment. Okay.
No. There's been a few messages already since the calendar broke, and I had to let a few very...
Oh, really?
You know, very sad ladies down, yeah.
Oh, but, I can imagine. Yeah. And if you want to look at Morris's picture before you buy, of course, the Irish Farmer's Calendar is up on Instagram and Facebook. And as he said, his photo is the one with two dogs, and he's also in the Christmas lineup as well. Shauna, was it a fact that, you know, was there a lot of interest in these men after the calendar? Lots of texts and DMs coming into you.
I will say there has been quite a number of them. I had heard that there will be a bit of messaging going in looking for them, but not the amount that I've got.
Really? And is Morris a popular one? Are people asking about Morris?
Everyone asks about Morris.
There you go, Morris.
I just keep sending them over his way.
That's it. Well,
and Morris keeps batting them away.
Exactly.
I'm batting away. I've previous experience from the last time.
Oh, so. Yes. And were you single for the last one 5 years ago?
I was, yeah, but I shouldn't have announced it.
That was a busy time, was it, Morris?
Maybe I'm not taking it all this time. Maybe I'm only pretending, you know?
Well, there you go. Did it become a bit too much 5 years ago for you?
Way too much.
I can imagine, yeah. Especially if you're both a farmer and also working full time and having to deal with all that interest in you after the calendar. What can you do? Hey, listen, is it true that Conor McGregor had one of the calendars on his walls?
I heard a rumour of it.
Well, he is the man to have that, and he would be quite the one to compare yourself to as well.
Yeah.
Well, listen, the 2025 Irish Farmers Calendar is available now. It's available at farmerscalendar.com, and it's also at the Calendar Club. You'll probably see them doing the rounds around shopping centres and things like that on the run-up to Christmas. And that's available across Ireland and the UK. And it's always so popular every year. Do you find people buying it already, Shauna, for 2025?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Is the definitive
definitely
answer.
Yeah.
Yeah? It sounds like you had a great crack, Shauna. Did you do your first farmer's calendar?
I did. It was fantastic. And all of the lads made it even better. You know, it was a really great day. It turned out to be a great day. It was cold up there that day, but It was great fun. We all got into it. It was good.
And like, you're working with horses, and as Mara said, two dogs that he didn't know. So that adds to the pressure of it.
Yeah, but like that, all the lads, they were so fantastic, threw themselves in, were familiarising themselves with the animals and getting up close and personal with the animals. And it was just fantastic.
Oh, good stuff. Well, look, you can look at some of those photos on social media. If you search for Irish Farmers Calendar, you'll see some of those. Shauna, thanks a million for joining me. And Maris, looking forward to seeing you in the calendar this year and those two dogs. And I know you'll be very busy letting people know that you are not single. Thanks a million.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
That is music from Sabrina Carpenter. It is called Taste on this Sunday morning. You're listening to The Sunday Grill here on Beat 102-103. And the world was rocked, of course, by news of the death of Liam Payne this week. Social media went into overdrive as stars and fans remembered the One Directioner and described the shock they felt at his sudden death. But what can you do if you feel more than shock? In fact, if you feel like you're grieving a celebrity death, well, psychotherapist Isolde White joins me this morning to talk about that and what to do if you feel triggered by the death of a celebrity. Because I suppose Isolde, people will say to you that maybe haven't a lot of empathy would always say, but you didn't know them, won't they?
Yes, they will say that. And what they forget is that adolescents particularly, but all of us, can form these parasocial relationships with celebrities. And we're quite invested in it. But it's sort of a way of having a safe and a safe relationship with somebody at a distance, where where they can be who we want them to be to us, if that makes sense.
Of course. And what is parasocial, Isolde?
Well, so I suppose you and I are having a social relationship right now because we're here talking to each other. But a parasocial relationship is where you're not actually engaged in a relationship with the person.
Okay, it's
you're
one-sided.
Only sort of in, yeah, you're only engaged with them through their social media, through seeing them play their songs, through the words they write in their songs, which may feel really meaningful to you. And of course, adolescence is a particularly strong time for having these parasocial relationships.
And that was what I was going to ask you. I know a lot of young people and you know, people in their 20s who've been quite affected by this news. So do you almost carry that feeling that you had from adolescence when a band meant something to you or an actor meant something to you? Can you carry that through to your 20s, 30s, 40s onwards if a death happens?
Well, absolutely. So these relationships can be really helpful in allowing adolescents sort of form an identity and develop some autonomy. So they are imagining relationships, and it's sort of a safe forum. So these were quite safe but strongly important relationships. And One Direction, or 1D, as all the kids would have called them, you know, like, they had all of the posters up all over their rooms. Mm-hmm. They had chosen their band member. They were super, super attached to them. And so now, when a death like this happens, it's sort of throwing them back into some of the turbulent feelings of adolescence, but also a real sort of grief, not the same grief that you would feel at a person that you know in real life dying, but there is a real grief there. And then there's also something about the very public nature of it, that it can be sort of a public grieving together. So all of the fans together are in a collective sense of grieving together. And there's something kind of tribal
community
in a good
like.
Way. Yeah, community like there.
And that's what I was going to ask you. Like, it's not like grieving a family member or a close friend. Is it, without being glib, is it, you know, like losing a beloved pet, or, you know, what level of grief would you even call it?
Well, to be honest, I would say that really depends on each individual and the level of investment they had. And I suppose I would never be glib in the face of somebody's grief. And certainly when people are grieving pets, that can be very huge.
Oh, totally. Oh, yeah.
And
we've all been there.
And I think just to say to people that, look, it's literally okay to be feeling some level of grief. And whatever level of grief you're feeling is the level of grief you're feeling. Mm-hmm. And there's no need to be comparing it. It's just to, like, be alongside it. Mm-hmm. It feels like a loss. There's other people feeling that. There's people talking. Often with these parasocial relationships, they're very linked to a time in your life. And maybe there's other grieving that needs to be done about that time in your life that hadn't been done. And maybe some of the parasocial relationship, you know, developed. Maybe an adolescent was feeling isolated in school or feeling bullied, feeling not part of things, and then formed this sort of very strong bond parasocially. Mm-hmm. And it was a real support at that time. So some of the grief may be sort of unprocessed grief of earlier losses that just haven't been addressed.
And it's always a shock when someone who's at the prime of their life dies, isn't it? And they're the ones that are the most shocking, really.
Absolutely, and dies suddenly and tragically. And I mean, I think if you talk to just about everybody, they'll be able to tell you of one celebrity that died.
We were talking about it in the office, really, from Princess Diana, Kurt Cobain. Like, you know, we went through lists of them, so I think everyone can remember one.
Yeah, I mean, Kurt Cobain was a huge one for me. I was living mm-hmm. in New York at the time and wandered around New York. It snowed, I think, and I was wandering around New York going, wow. Oh, Kurt Cobain has died.
Like such an icon, you know?
Well, and also there's the feeling of the loss of their creativity,
yeah,
to the world.
Talent.
At least, mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one. There was no social media, of course, back then when Kurt Cobain died. Is like on Friday, my feed was just inundated with memories and mostly celebrities. Is that a help or a hinder to someone? I know sometimes when we're trying to process things, I know what I do is I get caught down a rabbit hole. But I often wonder, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I would think it's often probably not a good thing. It's okay. Often probably a thing where you're feeding the grief rather than processing it. And I would generally say getting out, going for a walk in nature, doing something like that, going for coffee with a friend, all of those things are things that are much more soothing in reality than getting caught up in the social media. But then of course there's that little period of time where you're a bit like a rabbit caught in the headlights and you kind of mm-hmm. like, I need to know more, I need to know what people are saying. But then you need to step away from it and sort of do kinder things for yourself, I suppose.
Okay, kinder things for yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. And what if people belittle this level of grief that you might be feeling about a celebrity?
Well, I think if they're being belittling, just step away from them for the time being. You know, maybe you can forgive them afterwards, but don't stay around to be belittled would be my advice on that in general.
Yeah.
Because, look, this is a very well understood psychological thing. There's quite a few studies about the parasocial relationships. It's really okay. And there's nothing wrong with it, you know. And, you know, particularly for adolescents. I mean, I suppose if you go all the way back to the Beatles and Elvis Presley, mm-hmm. you know, that was the beginning of our understanding of this sort of adolescent worship of celebrities. And it's been going on ever since. And it's serving some purpose for everybody. And it's not a negative. It's not negative. Mm-hmm. And a lot of adolescents, and I think that's pertinent in this situation because a lot of the people attached here were originally adolescent when they form this parasocial mm-hmm. attachment. Adolescence is a turbulent, difficult, and often isolating time. And, you know, it's reasonable to form these parasocial relationships to support you getting through adolescence. And I would never knock it. And I think if somebody was being dismissive of your sadness in the moment now, I'd go back and thank yourself for having looked after yourself as an adolescent by bringing positive, joyful things into your life at that time.
Oh, that's a lovely way to put it. So even if you're in your 30s or 40s, if you're feeling this grief, that grief is valid, and be kind to yourself, really, is what we're saying this morning, Isolt, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it doesn't matter which one of these situations, you know, whether it's a young celebrity or an older celebrity, you know, we do feel the bit of loss, and we all carry losses through life with ourselves, and we haven't always processed them all. So anything that sort of touches into the loss and the grief, you know, is also touching into your own personal losses and mm-hmm. griefs. And mm-hmm. so there's that as well.
So it could be triggering something else.
Yeah, like maybe just on a minor level, but it's worth going, yeah, so I carry some loss and grief with me. That's human. That's mm-hmm. part of life. And how can I just be a little kinder to myself, recognising that today?
Lovely stuff. Thank you so much for all that information. And you've a lovely soothing voice to tell us all that this morning as well. Are there any websites or anything that people can go to if they wanted to get more information on grieving someone that, I suppose, essentially they're thinking, I don't even know this person?
Well, I think if they literally look at parasocial relationships, I know, for instance, Time has an article that they published a few years ago on parasocial relationships, the benefits of them. There's a few research journal articles out there, but do a search on parasocial relationships and it'll give you more of an understanding of what you've been going through.
Lovely stuff. Thank you so much, Isolt. That is Isolt White. She is a psychotherapist. And parasocial relationships is what you want to look up if you want to feel more details about why you might be feeling very sad after the death of a celebrity, and especially a sudden death, really, Isolt, isn't it?
It is a sudden death and a tragic death. And we also understand that when deaths are sudden and when they're tragic and complicated, the grief response is more complicated.
Okay.
And we know that throughout any kind of death, whether it's a parasocial relationship or a close relationship, the more complicated the death, the more complicated the grieving process.
Well, okay. Thank you so much for joining me this morning, Isolt.
It's a pleasure.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Across the southeast, it is Beat 102-103. Well, the Butler Gallery in County Kilkenny, in Kilkenny City, in fact, is hosting a craft fair featuring the work of 30 artists from inside and outside the southeast. It's from November the 1st to the 3rd. So, just a little aside, it might be a good place to go and buy those Christmas presents. I know we're not meant to mention that word right now, but you know you're planning already. Well, Rebecca Reynolds is the development director at Butler Gallery and she's going to talk to us about it. And jeweller Yvonne Bulger also joins me this morning. You're both very welcome.
Thanks, Orla.
Now, no problem. Rebecca, you might start with you. Tell us a little bit about this craft fair. It's all about meeting the makers, isn't it?
Yeah, so this is actually our third year doing this craft fair. So we're going from strength to strength with it. I mean, everybody loves a craft fair and it's a brilliant way to kind of support your local producers in the run up to Christmas. So this craft fair, we're actually the first sort of craft fair on the Christmas circuit, if you want to call it that. We have, as you said, 30 producers coming to Butler Gallery and with a range of disciplines. So it's wood, it's jewellery, it's ceramics, it's leather, it's textiles and mixed media and all sorts of amazingly creative people selling what they make. So you can come meet the makers, you know, enjoy their work. It's very tactile and it's a lovely way to, you know, just kind of get to know the sector and also, as you said, do your Christmas shopping because and you're also supporting Butler Gallery as well in the process. So we are a contemporary art gallery and art museum. We're the leading contemporary art gallery and art museum in the southeast. And we have so the funds that are created from the craft fair go back into the gallery because we are a charity. So for us, we're supporting the makers and also it is generating funds for the gallery as well. And we support local artists, we support national artists and international artists. And we are all about supporting the artist and the creative sector in general. So that's why we do the craft fair. And it's a brilliant way to bring just different audiences into the gallery, which is such a beautiful space. We're in a historic space. We have gardens all around the gallery. So the whole gallery is just transformed into a craft hub for that weekend. And it's great fun. And we have our cafe open. Our main gallery exhibition is there to view as well if you want to come in and have a look at that too. So there's loads going on and it really is, it's a lovely weekend at the gallery.
Gorgeous stuff. Now, people might know that Kilkenny is a designated World Craft Council craft city and region and it is in fact only one of four regions to achieve this recognition in Europe. So that's a big deal.
It is a really big deal. And, you know, Kilkenny needs to shout about that a lot louder. And even for the southeast in general, it's a really big deal. So and we have lots of Kilkenny makers coming to the event in November that people will be able to meet as well. We have Catherine Conroy, who's a superb jeweller. We have Michelle Sweetman, who does textiles. We have body and skincare products from Away with Nature. We have ceramicist Sonia Gunther, and we have woodworker's own Keely, who does its dovetail. So we've loads of people, and of course we have Yvonne Bulger, who's a superb jeweller as well. So, and we have makers coming from all across southeast and Waterford. We have Adele Stanley and Katrina Tremel and Wearing Ryan, who's a jeweller. Tipperary, we have textiles and jewellery and wood products from different makers. People coming from Cork and Dublin as well. So, and Wexford and Carlow. So it really is worth coming along. It is only €5 into the craft fair, which is really the price of a cup of coffee these days, you know. So So definitely worth bringing the family
and getting
along.
Something different as a gift for Christmas as well, and something that is homemade, for want of a better word. Will you explain where the Butler Gallery is, Rebecca? Because I find there's lots of Butlers in Kilkenny.
Yes. Yeah, don't make the mistakes of going to Butler House.
Which, even as you're saying it, I'm thinking, and you have a lovely Christmas event there as well.
Yeah. We are not Butler House. We are Butler Gallery. So when you're coming into Kilkenny, for anyone who knows Kilkenny, I suppose everybody knows where the castle is, really. Yes. So in relation to the castle, if you drive down onto the parade, you're at the main set of traffic lights. Mm-hmm. Keep going over the bridge and you'll see Matt the Miller's. Matt the Miller's pub, which again is a bit of a landmark. Uh-huh. So at Matt the Miller's pub, just drive down the river, take a left at Matt Miller's pub along the river. And we're just a few hundred yards down there behind Carnegie Library.
Okay, I would have gone somewhere completely different.
Yeah. But look, I mean, Google us, you'll find our pin and just Google Maps will take you there. There's parking in front of the gallery, but there's also parking. There's a large car park behind the gallery.
Oh, yes.
There's parking in City Hall, which is just across the road and it's very cheap. And there is parking in Dunstores car park. So actually we are directly opposite Dunstores in Kilkenny on the other side of the river.
Excellent. Yeah. So at their car park side.
Yes, exactly.
Brilliant. I'm just looking at photos of the Butler Gallery here. It's just a gorgeous space as well. Lots of space to show all those 30 crafters. And Yvonne Bulger, jeweller, is one of those people. Yvonne, what does a craft fair mean to you and what you do?
The craft fairs are absolutely essential for someone like myself. I'm a one-woman show, so I'm making, designing, promoting, and to liaise and be supported by somewhere like the Butler Gallery is really essential. It's a beautiful space, and it's just a lovely event to take part in. And as Rebecca said, it's, you're meeting fellow makers, you're meeting new customers, and it's just spreading the word for Irish design and craft, which is really important. It's such a vital sector.
And how, apart from craft fairs, how do you usually sell your jewellery, Yvonne Bulger Jewellery?
Yeah, I have a number of routes to market. I do craft fairs, a number of them, and I have my own website, Yvonne Bulger Jewellery. We'll get you there. I'm on Instagram, which is becoming increasingly important for small makers like myself. And I sell in a number of shops as well. So it's a mixed way of getting out to the people there.
And how long have you been doing this, Yvonne?
Well, I set up the business in 2019, having had a different career altogether, fido. I was actually a solicitor way back in the day, so a complete change of scene. I was a stay-at-home mum, and then I just discovered my creative side later in life. So it was a joy now to find this way of expressing myself.
Your stuff is gorgeous. I'm just looking at it here on Instagram. How would you describe what you do, how you like to do your designs?
Yeah, what I would say is it's a contemporary twist on traditional silver crafting and gold crafting methods. And my pieces would really be, a lot of people buy them for gifts, for a special gift, because they are meaningful and they can be personalised as well. So people like that personal
lovely stuff. Well, you can check out Yvonne at Yvonne B Jewellery if you want to look her up on Instagram. But she will be at the Butler Gallery Craft Fair from the 1st until the 3rd of November. Rebecca, what's the best way for people to get more details on that?
Go to the Butler Gallery website. So it's butlergallery.ie, or you'll find us on Instagram, you'll find us on Facebook. So a list of all the makers is there. So you'll have full information there and the time. So we're open on Friday. We open at 2:00 until 8:00 on Friday. So it gives people a chance to come in post work. Mm-hmm. And then 10 to 5 on Saturday and 11 to 5 on Sunday. And also just to say, with regards to the entry fee of €5, we are free every other time of the year, so this is the only weekend that we actually have any entry fee at all, and you will be automatically entered into a really, really nice prize draw, which all of the makers are very generous and contribute something from their work to us for that prize draw. So you'll very likely get something back, so, or at least there's a good chance you'll get something back for your €5. We'd love to see people come along to the craft fair. Yeah.
Great stuff. That is the Butler Gallery Craft Fair 2024. As you said, the first craft fair before Christmas that's being held. I can't believe we're talking about Christmas, but we are. It is butlergallery.ie if you want to get more details. Rebecca and Yvonne, thanks a million for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Orla.
Thanks, Orla.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
It's Beat 102-103 on a Sunday morning. You're listening to The Sunday Grill, and Brian has a prequel for you this week. In fact, Transformers 1 serves as a prequel to the entire narrative universe about an alien race of metallic humanoids with the ability to morph into vehicles. This is my childhood, Brian.
Is it?
Yeah, Transformers.
Did you know that they're actually...
Forgotten the tagline.
They're actually robots in disguise.
Robots in disguise.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Thank you very much. So this is the untold origin story of Optimus Prime and Megatron. Will we have a listen?
Megatron. From Megatron.
Respect
from X-Men.
Respect me.
So, how long do you think we'll be here? I'm not talking to you.
You know what? We are so screwed.
Thought you weren't talking to me.
You two, come with me. Report to Waste Management.
Hi there, I'm B-127.
I'm actually working on some nicknames. The one I'm floating right now is Badassatron, which is actually pronounced
Badassatron.
We're gonna call you B.
I know we're just lowly worker bots who can't even transform. Don't you wanna see what's out there?
There's a reason no one goes to the surface. It's dangerous!
Why'd you bring jetpacks?
If we survive this, I'm gonna kill you!
I accept those terms.
There you go, that is Chris Hemsworth. Scarlett Johansson's in there too. Really big cast. Lawrence Fishburne, John Hamm, but the two main ones are...
Chris Hemsworth and Brian Tyree Henry.
Brian Tyree Henry, I really recognise from somewhere.
Atlanta.
Ah, okay.
He's also in Spider-Verse, I think, as well. So okay, well, he's one of... Like, that cast from Atlanta is just top tier. Like, Donald Glover, Zazie Beetz, Lakeith Steinfeld, and Brian Tyree Henry is just... absolute top tier, okay, all around the board.
And here he is in Transformers 1 with Chris Hemsworth. Funny to see Chris Hemsworth as a completely different, you know, mega character, not Thor. So he is Optimus Prime in this.
Yeah, well, for most of the film now, he is Orion Pax, who's just a
regular guy.
A miner from on the planet, which name I can't remember. But they're getting the Energon, and they're trying to bring the civilization to keep it going, and they need the Energon. And then he starts jumping in races and doing all these crazy things because he wants to change his life and do something completely different. And then it turns into this massive battle, and it's kind of cool, to be fair.
You have a big smile on your face anyway.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I went into this thinking it's probably not going to be great, right?
Why?
I don't know. I felt like
Transformers movie person.
I like the live action ones, like Shia LaBeouf and all that. Like that was crazy. Yeah. Megan Fox, obviously, but I didn't know what to expect from this. I thought it was just going to be like one of those. Oh yeah, we just made another movie because the IP is big. Mm-hmm. I had a good time with this. I laughed like out loud a few times.
Oh, I watched some of the clips laughing. Like they really work well together the two main stars in this.
It's very dumb, and I'm a big fan of that.
Dumb.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of dumb. Mm. Yeah, definitely. Joshua Cooley is the director of this, and he worked on Inside Out. So good credentials for
and
this.
Toy Story 4.
Wow.
and Ratatouille. So like. He's been around some good films, like, but it's just, I don't know, it's just a fun family movie, like, you don't get a lot of them. They always seem to have some sort of, like, deep moment, but this is kind of just like, yeah, there's Transformers.
Give us the backstory, so.
They're robots.
And in disguise?
Yeah. So, no, they're...
But they're not robots in disguise. They're regular robots.
Yeah, actually, they're not actually in disguise for most of it. They're just robots. So it's Orion Pax and D-16 are become Optimus Prime and Megatron.
Okay.
And they are best friends. And then, like, their boss is Scarlett Johansson.
Okay.
And they end up getting her fired because they end up breaking protocol to save somebody else, which is a nice thing to do. That's a good guy.
As you do.
And then they meet B-127, like, who goes on to, let's be realistic, become Bumblebee.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go off on this magical adventure to try and find this thing, I can't remember what it's called. It's like this thing of leadership. It's like the beacon of leadership thing.
Okay.
it's where all the other Primes died. at this in the middle of this war, and there's like this war is introduced halfway through, and it's quite cool. It's a quite simple, fun, easy movie. There's bad guys, there's good guys, there's a secret good guys, secret bad guys, people turn good, people turn bad. Classic, John.
If you didn't have to go for your job, would you have gone to this?
Yeah, to be fair.
You would have, okay.
Yeah, because even my friends came with me, and you know what it's like. Sometimes I'm like, hey, I'm going to go see this sad drama about this woman in the 1920s that's depressed. And my friends are like, I'm not going to go to that with you. But yeah, my friends came with me. So I feel like that's a sign enough to be like, it's all right.
So like John Hamm, Lawrence Fishburne, all in this as well. Obviously, we're hearing their voices and not seeing their faces, but like some really famous people behind this.
Yeah, it's kind of like, because even the main four, Chris Hemsworth, Brian Tyree Henry, Scarlett Johansson and Keegan-Michael Key. And it's like they're who you're with for the majority of the movie. So it's like mm-hmm. it's never go below like an A-lister, to be fair. Okay. So it's quite fun. It's quite cool.
And did it tie up any loose ends about what you didn't know about the origins of these robots?
Well, all I knew about is they were this war on Cybertron, and there was this big fight, and then they came to Earth from there.
Okay.
And this is essentially like this is how the war started.
Okay.
So like this is like the movie ends with there's going to be a war.
Okay. So, and then you can go and watch all the rest of the
then you can go on. And it's produced by Michael Bay and Steven Spielberg as well. So it's like it has that like Michael Bay influence, which, yeah, you know, like he was synonymous with it, like, you mm-hmm. know. So mm-hmm. it's nice that they still have the people on board, that continuity is kept, and I don't know, allows people to go back and watch those, like, you know.
And is that who it's for, those mega fans of the first like Michael Bay Transformers? Or
I don't know, I'd say it's more so for people to be like new, like just anyone that hasn't seen Transformers, but oh, I like that one. It's like, well, there's five more.
Okay.
And you could enjoy them. So, yeah.
And I presume there'll be no more of these because they can't do a prequel of the prequel, or can they? They can't.
I don't know, maybe.
It's just really unusual to hear of a movie from a universe being a one-off because it can't be anything else, since all the Transformers have been made by, as you said, such massive directors as well.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of, unless they do the war itself.
Yeah.
Which I would actually go see, to be fair.
Okay.
It's just like a load of robots fighting, and like they can transform into different things and shooting at each other.
Your type of movie.
Yeah, it's
highbrow stuff.
Yeah, oh yeah. The top tier film festival etiquette type things, like, you know.
Will we black pudding it? I'd say Transformers love black puddings.
I don't think they can eat them.
No.
I'd say I give like a 8.
8 black puddings?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Why not?
Let's do it. That is 8 black puddings out of 10 for Transformers 1. It stars, tell us them again.
Chris Hemsworth and Brian Tyree Henry.
And
Scarlett Johansson.
You'll definitely recognise that voice, but there's lots of other voices that you'll recognise in there as well. That is the voice of Brian Griffin.
Not we're a robot on, in disguise.
We're on the run up to the big ones, of course. And Ariana Grande was on SNL last week. She did some job. But that is, the PR wheels are turning for Wicked. And I am here for that.
Well, the big thing is Cynthia Erivo is giving out that people are photoshopping the poster now. So
what?
That they're, do you know the original like Broadway one where it's like the more of a shadow over mm-hmm. the witch, mm-hmm. which is, I don't know. The green witch's face. I don't know the names of them. I know Glinda's the one, but she was giving out that she's like, why would they do that? That's an insult to her. It's like, I don't know. I think you're going too deep on this.
Maybe. Well, I'm really looking forward to that one, and lots of stuff coming up this year as we head into 2025. What have you got for me next week?
Probably Wild Robot.
Another robot.
Yeah. Well, doubling down on the robots. I might go see The Apprentice as well. That looks really good.
Oh, I really want to see The Apprentice.
Like, they're both out this weekend and I haven't seen them yet, and I might just do a double bill of them.
Oh, do it and enjoy it. And I will talk to you next week. In the meantime, that is Transformers 1, 8 Black Puddings. Out of 10, it is out now. Thanks a million, B.
No problem.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.